Boy, I don't know about you, but boy, that's something to shout about this morning, that our sins are gone. Thank God. Hallelujah this morning. My sins are gone. Amen. Praise God. My sins are gone. You ask me why I'm happy, so I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone. And when I meet the scoffers who ask me where they are, I say, my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is. Good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. Hallelujah, my sins are gone. 'Twas at the old time altar where God came in my heart, and now my sins are gone. The Lord took full possession, the devil did depart. I'm glad my sins are gone. As far removed as darkness is from dawn, in the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. Boy, you ought to be shouting on that this morning, amen. Hallelujah. When Satan comes to tempt me and try to make me doubt, I say, my sins are gone. You got me in the trouble, but Jesus got me out. I'm glad my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. Well, glory. Woo! Boy, it's good to be saved, amen. Well, I'm living now for Jesus. I'm happy night and day because my sins are gone. My soul is filled with music. With all my heart I say, I know. I bet I know, amen. There underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn, in the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. My soul, boy, I'm glad my sins are gone. Let's turn over to page 286 this morning, and let's sing the Glory Land Way. Amen. I'm glad I'm in the Glory Land Way this morning. I could be anywhere else this morning, doing anything else, but I'm in the house of God this morning, singing songs of Jesus, amen, glorifying God, because one day on August the 5th, 1999, Jesus came by where I was and saved an old sinner, amen, and from that day to this, I've never been the same, and I can say without a second thought, amen, that there ain't nothing better than Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's sing it on page 286. Hallelujah. I'm in the way, the bright and shining way. I'm in the glory land way, telling the world that Jesus saved today. Get in the glory land way. Oh, I'm in the glory land way.
word. My soul, I'm glad. Well, onward I go, rejoicing in his love. I'm in the glory land way. Soon I shall see him in that home above. I'm in the glory land way. Well, I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land way. Heaven is near and we're good before. I'm in the glory land way.
Amen. Amen. That's good singing this morning. What a blessing. I like that. Well, if you're glad to be here this morning, glad you're in church, say amen. Amen. What a blessing. Good to see each one of you here this morning. Make yourself at home. We're going to mention several things right quick. We'll have some more singing. We're just glad that you're here. If you're visiting with us this morning, we'd like to make you welcome also. Two or three things right quick. Really important. We are having Bible school. Old-fashioned, traditional Bible school, vacation Bible school, August 10, 11, 12th. That's Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, 2 weeks from tomorrow. We have our sign-up sheet right here for anybody and everybody who's willing to help. Now, most of you, I'm already taking for granted you're helping. But if we got any new help, sign up right here. There's a section that says, I'll help with refreshments, I'll help with activities or games, or I'll help teach if needed. So, be sure and sign up here this morning. We're going to have an old-fashioned Bible school. Bible school is a big part of America's heritage. It really is. There's thousands, tens of thousands of people. And you can ask them, where'd you get saved? They say Bible school. Anybody in here get saved at Bible school when you was little growing up? See there? 10 or 15 people just like that. So it's proof that it's good and God honors it. And so don't forget to sign up this morning. Now, appreciate y'all praying for us. I was up in Kentucky this week preaching and had a good time in the Lord. Lord have mercy. And then went to West Virginia to visit family and friends and got out alive. Didn't get locked up or nothing. It was good. But I'll tell you more about that later. But it was a blessing. Had four people saved in the camp meeting up there in Kentucky. And my goodness, the preacher is just on fire and these want to come down to camp meeting. So it's not going to be long. It'll be August, September, October. Less than three months to the Carolina camp meeting. Be here just like that. And so that's the 21st through the 25th. I've already talked to all of our preachers. They're all fired up and ready to come. And we're excited about it. If you feel yourself dragging, you're the only one that can get yourself up. Get back in here. Somebody need to get back in there and be fired up, ready for camp meeting coming up here in just a few weeks. Now, also, don't forget now, let's pray for those that are traveling, vacation, gone this weekend. Remember them in prayer. The Lord will get them back safe. And we've got a lot of special things coming up here in the next few weeks. We will be having our back-to-school youth rally service about the 23rd of August, somewhere around in there. And we'll tell you a lot more about that later. But anyway, we're excited about it. Make yourself at home. Let's just enjoy the Lord today. Let's all stand. Turn around there and be friendly to somebody. Let's stand, turn around, and be friendly in the Lord. Be friendly. Be friendly to that person around you. Just 1, 2. Help me out, Jamie. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Test 1, 2. 1, 2, 3. Thank you. one too. All right, choir, let's go. Amen. Need everybody. Need everybody. Bring somebody with you. A little short. Come on. Requests here this morning. Can't sing them all, but maybe this for you visitors here this morning. I want Austin to sing, tell you what we believe. You believe, you know, you believe three things if you're in the right kind of church: the book, the blood, the blessed hope. All three of them things. Without a book, you ain't got no foundation for what you believe. Without the blood, you ain't got no hope. And without the blessed hope, boy, we are of all men most miserable. Amen. If in this life only. All right, sing it out there.
Children.
Amen. You don't, you're bad shape. You know that? You know, I was talking to a young man the other day, and we're going to sing this remedy song, if that's all right, y'all. We've had a lot of requests for it. And I was talking to a young man the other day, and he was in a great revival we had back many years ago up in West Virginia. And he'd done been gone off in the service and spent years out yonder somewhere. And you know what he told me? He said, Brother Danny, he said, we went to church after church after church in Florida and everywhere looking for what we had there. And you know what? If you've ever, are you listening to me? If you've ever been around the old-time religion and God's ever really worked in your heart and you knew it was real, nothing else will ever take the place of that. Nothing. You'll never be satisfied. You ain't going to like crackers after you've eaten steak and enjoyed the Lord. Once you've been around the blessing, seen people getting right and felt God's Spirit, this world just can't cut it. This dead religion, it just won't. It's just different, you know. It's like one preacher said, it started like shaving with a banana. You know, it just won't work. It just don't get the job done. If you've ever been around the real thing, you're ruined as far as this world's concerned. And that, you, there's a remedy for you this morning. And God's here, got something to help you. You listen while they sing.
For the world that's lost in darkness, for the saint who's gone astray, for the sinner blind that's searching, for the child in need of faith, for the homeless and forsaken, for the hungry and the cold, for the prisoner and the captive, for the young and for the old, there is a remedy for every sin sick soul. There is a cure for all. For all the pain and hurt and woe, there is a solution. For all the problems deep inside, there is a remedy, and His name is Jesus Christ. For the bitter, for the lonely, for the weary and afraid, for the burdened and frustrated, the discouraged and dismayed, for the mocked and persecuted, for the battered, for the wronged, for the scarred and for the wounded, for the weak and for the strong, there is a remedy for every sin sick soul. There is a cure for all. All the pain and hurt and wrong, there is a solution. For all the problems deep inside, there is a remedy, and His name is Jesus Christ.
Every tongue in every race, every color, every language, every time and every place, there's an answer to the question. There's love for all the hate. There's a healer for the dying. He's the light, the truth, the way.
Problems deep inside, there is a remedy, and His name.
Amen. Thank God. Thank the Lord. I'm glad there's a remedy for you this morning, friend. Amen. There's an answer. There's hope. There's somebody that'll help you. There's something that'll help you. I don't care what kind of mess your life's in here this morning. There's a remedy. You know that sometimes you go to the doctor and he'll say, I'm sorry, there's nothing we can do. I'm glad the Lord's not like that. You don't ever go to the Lord and he said, I'm sorry, there's nothing I can do. He can do something. He can do something if you'll give it to him. But you got to give it to him. Amen. Let's everybody get ready to give this morning. Let's honor God with our tithes and our offering this morning. And we want you to give. I hope you will. I hope you'll get somebody, you get caught up or whatever you need to do this morning. And keep honoring God. Keep the church going, the bills paid, and the buses running, and the everything going that we do here. And God's blessed us. God's blessed us with a bus ministry and with a building, and it's just unreal how the Lord's blessed our church. So let's enjoy it today. Don't look at what the devil's doing. Look at what God's doing. And bless you for it. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for all you've done for us. Pray now that you'd bless this offering this morning. Let it be just exactly what you want it to be. If everybody will do our part, Lord, God, we know it'll happen. Lord, if we slack and don't give like we're supposed to, it won't. But I pray that you'd meet the need, do what needs to be done. You gave us our jobs. You gave us our money. And I pray that you'd help us to give you your part back in an offering. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Everybody give. Everybody give. Amen. All right, let's get our Bibles open to the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 2. While you're finding your place there, I want to remind you that we are having our Bible school workers sign up. The sheet is right here if you are going and willing to help in Bible school. Listen, if you don't do nothing but give a cup of Kool-Aid and a cookie to a child, you're going to be used by the Lord. And we'll have a big crowd here those nights. That's August 10, 11, and 12. Sign up right there after church and what you're willing to do. Refreshments, activities, or help teach, or whatever you want to do. If you want to help in Bible school, this is your opportunity to do it. All you folks that know everything, and you know, and you've read the Bible for 100 times, and you're smarter than Moses and Paul and everybody put together, put some of that to use to help somebody else. Amen. God's blessed us in this part of the country with so much knowledge of the Word of God that let's take advantage of it and try to help somebody else. And then for all the people that watch on the internet, I'll be in Florida week after next preaching at the, I don't even know the name of it, Brother Wayne, First Baptist, something, Campbell City, Florida. It's in Kissimmee, Florida, at Brother Ernie Maynard's church. And that'll be a week from tomorrow night. There's always people writing and texting and everything. I don't know how to tell them. So if you're listening, then we'll see all you folks in Florida. But let's open our Bible this morning to 1 Peter chapter 2 and look at verse number 1. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 1. I'm glad I'm here today. I'm glad I'm on the Lord's side. I ain't much, but He's a lot. I ain't much of a preacher, but I sure got a big God. We don't have a perfect church, but we got a perfect Bible. And a perfect hope and what we're looking forward to one of these days. Now this morning, I want to give you the message that the Lord's laid on my heart. And so you give me your attention. 1 Peter 2 and verse, chapter 2 and verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies You're supposed to get rid of everything you're anybody, if anything you're jealous of. Start to say, get rid of anybody you're jealous of. No, don't do that. Anything and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be, you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up. Look at this word. A spiritual house. Remember that word, spiritual. And holy priesthood to offer up. There it is again. Spiritual sacrifices. We don't kill animals and bring them in here no more. We offer up spiritual sacrifices. Our praise, our prayers, our worship to God. Acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now I want to preach this morning, if you'll give me attention for just a few minutes, on seven marks of a spiritual church. Seven marks of a spiritual church. If you are looking for the right kind of church, I'm going to tell you how to find it this morning. If you are not faithfully in the right kind of church, I'll tell you how to find it this morning. I mean, I'm just tired, Jamie. And ladies and gentlemen, you'll find this morning seven marks. Now, we are living in a time when people think that gain is godliness. And many people, when they, the first thing we go to church is what kind of facilities you have. Do you have this? Do you have that? Do you have a, now, don't misunderstand me. Nothing wrong with having lots of stuff. If God's blessed a church with a lot of facilities, praise God. Nothing wrong with it. I wish we had more. I pray God will bless all churches with fellowship buildings or and a place for the kids to play at or gym or whatever. Amen. That's great. But if you mistake that for a spiritual church, you have made a big mistake. A lot of places have lots of stuff like that and not a spiritual church. A lady came to a pastor one day and she called him up and she said, I'm thinking about coming to your church. She said, what does your church have to offer my young people? And he knew what she meant. What she meant was, do you take them here and you take them there and you do this with them and you do it, keep them busy so that they won't get out there and get full of the devil. And the pastor gave him the answer. Here's the answer that he gave the lady who asked the question, what do you have to offer my young people? He said, a road out of hell. That's pretty something good to offer, ain't it? A road out of hell is, can give that, Jamie? Can you get me down just a little, please? A road out of hell, ladies and gentlemen, is the best thing anybody can offer young people. We offer you a way to keep from going to hell when you die. And you can't get no better than that. And if you do, if you got other things, praise God. But if you can find a church that'll keep your young people out of hell, that's a good plus right there. Now I want to say seven things about it this morning. And I want to say seven marks of a spiritual church. Number one. Now I'll rush through these right quick, and so you'll listen quick, okay? Number one, the first mark of the right kind of church and a spiritual church is Bible preaching. There is absolutely nothing can be substituted for old-fashioned, hard, straight Bible preaching. It is the main mission and the main mark of a spiritual church is that church is built on preaching of the Word of God. There's a lot of places today that are enjoying other things and the labors of some man of God who preached and preached for years and years and years, and then the church went liberal after he died or something like that, and just enjoying things, claiming to be. I'm going to tell you something. The main thing of this church or any of your church ought to be is the preaching of the Word of God. I didn't say the preacher, I said preaching. Whether I'm doing it or whoever's doing it, this church ought to be, and any church ought to be built on preaching. Ladies and gentlemen, can I tell you something this morning? Preaching is not a side issue. Preaching is not just somewhere we go through all of our preliminaries and now we'll have our pastor come. Like he just tacked it on at the end of the service.
The preaching of the Bible and the Word of God is the main mission and mark of a spiritual church. If you got a church without preaching, you ain't got much of a church. Amen? I mean, you ought to listen, buddy. A church is not a place where the big shots in town get together and talk about business deals and push themselves politically. A church is not a place where everybody comes to show off their new clothes and see who's got the nicest car. That's a fashion show. A church is not a place where just only the elite gather and you have to live in a certain community where you have gates on it and all that. Thank God we got that. We got a few every now and then. But I tell you, that's not what a church is. A church is a place where sinners come in, where the man of God takes the Bible and opens it, and the ground is level at the foot of the cross. I'm going to tell you this morning, there's nobody in here any better than anybody else. We're all sinners, and we all need help from God. And the preaching of the Word of God, that little tiny bus kid that came in this morning picking her nose and didn't have any shoes on, is important to God as the richest person sitting in this room today. The marks of a spiritual church is the preaching of the Word of God. And ladies and gentlemen, I've been doing this since I was 19 years old, and I'm not going to cut no corners for you or your rich aunt or your rich uncle. The same truth goes out to everybody that walks in these doors. We're all sinners. We all need God, and the preaching of that Bible is a mark of a spiritual church. Amen? In season, out of season, when it's popular, when it's not popular, when it goes against the grain, when it goes against political correctness. As a matter of fact, if you're politically correct, you are biblically perverted, and vice versa. I'm telling you this morning, there ain't nothing in this world. Listen, you can have programs, you can have songs, you can have all of that's okay, but there ain't nothing in this world will take the place of opening up this old book and just dropping the plow, brother, and run it through every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. As a matter of fact, you ought to know that you're going to get preaching when you go to church. Amen. You ought to know, buddy, when I get up Sunday morning, I'm going to hear the Bible preached. There's one thing I can tell you about our church. Bless God, the Bible will be preached. When you invite somebody to church, you ought to say, listen, come to my church. You'll hear the Word of God. And not 15 different versions and a bunch of junk where nobody don't even know what they believe. You ought to say, come to my church because you will hear Bible preaching. That's why our little theme, our little logo is Bible preaching. You'll hear Bible preaching. Amen. Real preaching afflicts the comforted and comforts the afflicted. That's what we're supposed to do. Real preaching will comfort the disturbed and disturb the comforted. That went right over most of y'all's head. That means if you think you're all right, it'll jar you a little bit. And if you're down and out, it'll encourage you a little bit. It brings you up if you're down. It'll bring you down if you're up. And get us straight with God and send us out of here. There ain't nothing that'll keep your life straight like Bible preaching. Amen. I gotta hurry. Lord have mercy. That's what a man gets for trying to cram 7 sermons into one, isn't it? I'm going to tell you, a spiritual church has spiritual singing. Number 2, spiritual singing. You can measure the spiritual temperature of a church by its singing. According to that, we're freezing to death sometimes. I'm telling you, by our singing, unplug. If you went to all the churches and unplugged all the sound systems and turned off all the mics and took all the musical instruments away, you wouldn't have much to listen to. I'm telling you, brother, the Bible says that singing ought to be that. The Bible said spiritual songs, hymns, spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. There's a difference between. I fear that a lot of our churches today we've watched American Idol so long and it's entertainment that you go into the average church and it's almost like it's an entertainment, like some kind of a talent show or something where everything just right. I'm not knocking if people can sing good. I'm not knocking if they're organized. Praise God for it. But are you listening? You remember me telling you this. Listen to me. Singing in church is not just about talent and looks and performance. I'll say it again. Singing in church never has been and shouldn't be now. It is not about just talent and how you look. or if you're pretty, or if you're handsome, or if you got everything looking. I'm going to tell you something, brother. Nothing wrong with that. It's not about just the performance. I tell you something, you hear. You don't have to be beautiful. You don't have to be rich. You don't even have to be super talented. I've seen the little kids get up before. That little girl over here the other day. Where's she at? She over here. Is that her right there? That one right there. Boy, she got up here the other night and she grabbed that microphone and she said, Jesus love. She ain't never had a singing lesson, has she? I doubt seriously. She don't know musical notes, does she? I doubt it. But you know what? There were smiles went all over this church. God just blessed. Get it through your head. This ain't a talent show. Thank God for the talent. Thank God for people. Praise God for it. But you know what? It's a sounding brass, a tinkling cymbal. If the heart ain't right, and it's not spiritual singing, ain't that right? Like I heard an old preacher say the other day, said this guy stood up and gave his testimony, and he said, I just thank the Lord for this and that. I just thank the Lord that I made all A's on my report card, and I just thank the Lord. He said his testimony was just like you opened up the cabinet and let the pots and pans fell out. That's what it sounded like, clang, 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 clang. A sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. You ever heard singing like that? And brother, I'm telling you, spiritual singing. We used to have an old lady come to church up there Marion years ago, and she must have been about 80 years old, and every time she'd come, I'd say, "Woo! I'm glad she's here." And she had white hair, and she pulled it back in a little bun back here, and she wore a long dress down to right there, usually black down to right there, and she had on these little boots, and you laced them up to here. Weird looking sort of thing. Looked like old grandmas used to wear, and she'd get up there, and I forget her name, but I'd say, "Sister, will you come up and sing?" And she'd get up. She wouldn't even get behind the pulpit. She'd just get down here and stand like this, and she'd get down like that, and she'd say, "Well, children, God's been good to..." And boy, you could, yeah. I mean, it's like you was looking at an angel, you know? You ever been around somebody like that? You could see God on her. And boy, they'd give her the microphone, and she'd told about something that happened 100 years ago or something like that. And she got down the mic, and she'd say, "Down by the winder where my mother used to pray." Well, all of a sudden, you just feel... Yeah, you start thinking, "I'm sorry, Lord, I'll do better. Lord, I want to do right. God, I want to..." That's spiritual singing. Now, I'm not saying you have to talk like that. Now, I'm not saying you have to sing that song. But I'm just saying our heart, when we sing, ought to be right with God so that God gets the glory. Not the singers, not the group. They say, "Well, come on, let's sing it. Someone, yeah, whatever." I worry about some of this stuff. Brother, a mark of a spiritual church is spiritual singing. I'm telling you tonight, I've been to places to preach this morning, and I've been to places on some nights, and I had to pray before I got up to preach. Lord, it sounded like AC/DC was in the house or something. By the time that outfit got through, God was like 10 miles away. I'm glad for spiritual singing. Let me say quickly this morning. Number three, I want to say the third mark of a spiritual church is praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Real prayer. I mean, I'm not talking about saying prayers. I'm talking about praying. I'm not repeating the same thing over and over and over. "Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this another beautiful..." You know how. And they've got it memorized. I said the same thing every Sunday for 50 years. I'm not talking about that stuff. I'm talking about where people pray. And we get together and we call on God. Or we lay on the floor. Or we kneel at the altar. Or we sit at your seat. And you just bow your head and say, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." You know what every one of us ought to do this morning? Every one of us ought to just say, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, help me. God, make my life..." All of us this morning, it ought to be praying in the Holy Ghost. I read a story years ago about a man by the name of James Stegall. And James was in the Vietnam War back in the late 60s. He went in when he was 19 years old. And that old boy carried a New Testament in his pocket. And he's over there in Vietnam. He backslid and he would not get that thing out and read it. No matter how bad it got. He saw his buddies get blowed up all around him. He saw his friends dying with arms and legs blowed off and dying all around him. And one night, he actually saw his 20th birthday come. His 21st birthday come. And on February the 26th, 1968, He was in such a bad shape that he prayed for it all to end. He said, I just want to die. He said, there ain't no use in living. He said, I know I'm going to die anyway. Lord, just kill me. And they said his base come under attack, and they could hear a rocket was fired toward their base. And these guys, actually, you heard it so much, you can hear ones coming towards you. And they said, we got three. You could count down how many seconds before it hit you. And he said a friend of his shoved him in a big old grease pit, and they laid there, and he went, 3, 2, 1. Nothing happened. And the fuse malfunctioned on that rocket, and it didn't go off. They laid in that pit for 5 hours, saying, well, scared to move, praying how they're going to face eternity any second. And he finally broke. And he reached in his pocket and pulled that New Testament out. And he said, I'm going to read it. Starting Matthew chapter 1, chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Read the first 18 chapters of Matthew. When he got to chapter 18, verse 19 and 20, he said, he read, if two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. If any two of you shall agree on touching anything, it shall be done. And he said, peace come over his heart, and he said he knew everything was going to be all right, and he prayed God, and God got him out of there. Years later, that was February the 6th, 26, 1968. Years later, he was visiting his family. His wife's grandmother told him a story. She said, James, she said, many, many years ago, when you was in Vietnam, she said, one night I woke up. And she said, I woke up and I had a terrible burden to pray for you. And she said, I'm going to get down on my knees, but I got arthritis real bad. So I just laid in my bed and I prayed. And I said, God, wherever he's at, take care of him. God, wherever he's at, watch over James. She said, I got such a burden. I got up and called my Sunday school teacher from a church. And she told my teacher, she said, will you agree with me to pray for James? He's in Vietnam and I'm tore up over him. And you know what? They both agreed, prayed all night long. She got the victory in a little while. And you know what? She said, let's check it. And she opened her Bible and said, looky there. And she wrote, James, February 26, 1968. And that was the night that God delivered. He didn't even know that until years and years later. Now, I'm going to tell you this morning, folks. Are y'all listening to me? It ain't like this Mecca junk. It ain't like this bow three times a day talking to that wall. When we pray, somebody's up there listening. When we pray, somebody hears us. When we pray, God answers. When we pray, and the mark of a church is they pray. I think it's a compliment. People call, send texts all the time. Have the church pray for so-and-so. Have the church pray for so-and-so. Have the church pray for so-and-so. Listen, if I got a need and something happened to me and I had to be in the hospital, I'd send word down here. Y'all pray. The mark of a spiritual church is they can pray. I hope and pray that you'll get a hold of that this morning. Read Psalm 150, and we'll have our next point done this morning. The next mark of a spiritual church is praise. Who would want to have a football team with no cheering whatsoever? How many people would play football if the fans, I mean really, just sat there like this right here? Touchdown. Interception. We barely went ahead. Who'd want to go to a football game? You know, that's the atmosphere you fill up. You say, well, Brother Danny, those football games are exciting. Let me tell you something, bud. What's more exciting than heaven over our head, hell below our feet, and the devil's within choking distance, and souls in the balance, and song being sang, and our names in the book of life? I'm telling you, it don't get no more exciting than that. We have the victory. I thank God, brother, the mark of a spiritual church. Somebody praises the Lord once in a while. We got the victory, people. We got the victory. I'm telling you, that's why we do like this. We don't do like this. When you do like this, you're wanting something. When you do like this, you're giving honor and glory and praise. Ain't that right? I'm telling you, thank God, a mark of a church. Somebody throws up a hand once in a while. Sometimes somebody says, Amen. Once in a while, it'll start stirring up down in here, and you'll say, glory to God. I'm telling you, once in a while, a big old tear will run down your cheek. I know everybody ain't emotional like me. I know everybody's not an extrovert as I am. But I'll tell you one thing, something big as God gets to moving around down in your heart. You start thinking about where He brought you from, where you're going one of these days. You ain't going to burn in hell. Brother Ed, something will turn cartwheels into your soul and a shout will bubble up. Don't let the devil knock that out, people. A mark of a spiritual church is praising. I'm not talking about a bunch of fake stuff in the flesh. I'm talking about praising God, brother. I'm talking about praising God. You know, the first Thanksgiving Day they ever had, they said at Plymouth Rock, there's 55 pilgrims celebrated and thank God, and they was within sight of 40 graves that had buried those guys that died. So there's 40 graves right over there, and he's over here thanking God. That's what we as a church do. Listen, everything ain't right. Everything ain't good. Every one of us have burdens. Every one of us have heartaches. Every one of us have people in our family that break our heart. Everybody has birth. Everybody in here is faulted. But I'm going to tell you something, brother. We ought to be thanking God because we got the victory in Jesus. And one of these blessed days, hallelujah, He'll take us out of this world. I'm telling you this morning, a mark of a church is somebody will praise the Lord once in a while. Numbers 5. The fifth mark of a spiritual church is fellowship. Amen. People love to come and will without being begged. You know, if you're right with God, they don't want nobody have to beg you to come to church. A lady told me one time, she said, Danny, having three services a week, isn't that asking a little much of people? And I said, no. I said, that people get mad if we didn't. I said, people's right with God want to come to church. When you're right with God, you want to come to church. Did you hear me? When you're right with God, you want to come. You say, glory to God. They said, this old man, he used to go to church every time the doors open Sunday morning, Sunday night, when he didn't miss nothing. And he's old-timey. And boy, they tell him one night, they said, man, how come you go to church even when you're sick and everything? He said, who knows, but the blessing may come today, and I don't want to miss it. Now, I tell you, brother, that's a smart old fella. Who knows? This might be the day God answers your prayers. This might be the day God does something special that you'll never get over. This might be the day He saved one of your boys or your girl. This might be the service that God uses to touch your kid's heart that'll keep them from ruining their life. I'm telling you, fellowship. Now what's fellowship? Fellowship is two fellows in the same ship. That's a good definition for it. And that means that two fellows in a ship, we're going the same way, we're going the same place. We just might as well learn to like each other and get along. Amen? I'm telling you, we may be different, but we can fellowship. It binds us together. I said this famous Greek writer was an atheist. His name was Lucian, A.D. 120. That was a long time ago. And he wrote, and you know what he said about Christians? He was a Greek atheist. And he said, the incredible thing about them Christians is how they care about each other. He said, that made an impression on me. He said, their leader, talking about Jesus, taught them to love one another. And the Bible said that, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. A true mark of a spiritual church is in here, we care about each other. We'll help each other out. If somebody needs a little help, somebody else who's blessed, help them out. If you got something to give, and I said one time this guy asked me, he said, man, if you had 10 bananas, would you give me 5? He said, yeah, man, you know I'd give you 5 if I had 10 bananas. He said, if you had 4 bananas, would you give me 2 of them? He said, yeah, man, you're my friend. You know I'd give you 2 bananas if I had 4 of them. He said, if you only had 2 bananas, would you give me 1 of them? He said, shucks, man, you're my friend. You know I'd give you 1. And he said, if you only had 1 banana, would you give me? He said, shucks, man, you know I only got 1 banana. And that's the way we are, you know. We big talk about, we'll share, we'll be good to people. Like a fellow going down there, he had daddy give him, he had 2 dimes. And he said, now this dime's yours and that dime's the Lord. You take that dime and put it in the offering when they pass the plate. He said, okay. And he's running down the road like that, and he reached his pocket like that, and one of them dimes fell out and fell down in the manhole. And he said, there went the Lord's dime. Ain't that the way? Well, that's human nature. But you know what? Fellowship means that we'll sacrifice a lot of times ourselves to help somebody else in the church. You know what thrills me? I'm the pastor. And once in a while, stuff that thrills me is when I see you helping each other. I hear somebody say, so-and-so didn't have any groceries, and I slipped them a little money just right out of their pocket. Not tithes, not offering, just give them a little money. But I say, that's the mark of spiritual church is fellowship, people. I mean, have somebody over to eat. It's a mark. It's a mark. I got a problem with people that's got a problem with church. I got a problem with people that's got a problem with fellowshipping in the church. You watch out for this crowd that they won't come here, or they did come here and quit, and they're always talking to you and talking to you. Won't speak to me if I was on fire, but they're always buddying up and sucking up to you and are trying to pull you out. You better watch out for a crowd like that. I got a problem with people got a problem with our church. Right? That's right. That's like somebody in your family. If somebody's trying to get me to forsake my wife or my kids, I'm not going to do it. That's my wife. That's my kids. I'm not going to forsake my family. We are a family. God's put us together. I'm not interested in fellowship with somebody who wants to tear our family apart. And there's plenty of them. You say, well, I'm going to be your friend and everything, but if you're going to talk bad about my church, bye-bye. Fellowship. Fellowship. I like what old Martin Luther said. Old Martin Luther said, that's calling themselves Lutheran. Did you know he didn't even like that? He said, don't call yourself Lutherans. Call yourself Christians. He didn't even want the glory. He didn't want that. Spurgeon felt the same way about Baptists. He said, it's not Baptists ain't the main thing. It's Christians. We're Baptists by conviction, but we are Christians first. And we're brothers and sisters in Christ first, people. His need, my need. Her need, my need. Her problem, my problem. Bear ye one another's burdens, as the Lord's done for us. Listen, y'all got a problem. One thing that hurts my feelings sometimes, people say, you like to diet or something awful happened. I said, why didn't you tell me? They said, well, Brother Danny, we know you're busy. I mean, I appreciate your respect and all of that, but Lord, if you die, tell me. Or at least tell somebody to tell me before you kick out. Fellowship is a mark of a spiritual church. Number 6, scriptural giving. Scriptural giving. In Acts chapter 2, I'm telling you, giving is a mark of a spiritual church. In Acts chapter 2, they give, and they give. A spiritual church will give and is glad to do it. And don't complain about it. I've been in revival meetings, especially in little mountain churches, where the old ornery, knot-headed, backslid, stingy old codger sitting in there, and the preacher get up every night, and he'd say, now we don't want to offend nobody, but we're going to take up an offering Friday night, and won't take up an offering Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. He said, Friday night. He said, I don't want to kill the spirit, Brother Danny. I'll take up one Friday night. I think, brother, you ain't got no spirit to kill. If taking up an offering kills your spirit, there's something bad, bad, bad wrong with you. If hearing a preacher talk like I'm talking right now bothers you, you need to get your heart right with God. It ain't my fault you're a tightwad. It ain't my fault you're stealing from God. I'm telling you, brother, scriptural giving is a mark of a spiritual church. When people get right with God, they don't mind giving God what's His and giving God an offering. Are you listening? When people's hearts right, they don't mind a bit. Listen, I threw my tithes in there this morning. I was glad to do it. I said, glory to God, you let me go. You let me preach. You let me earn a living. Thank you, Lord. I'll gladly give it to you. Some of those dollars might help a missionary preach and somebody get saved and go to heaven. Scriptural giving is a mark. They said many, many years ago, Dr. George Truett, they're trying to raise $6,500 to raise a church. They raised $3,000 and like $3,500 more. He got up and said, can anybody else help? Nobody said nothing. He said, can anybody else help? Nobody said nothing. I've been that way many times. And he said, about that time, this long, long, long time ago, when $3,000 would be like $50,000 now. And he said, an old lady stood up and she punched her husband and she said, Don, she said, the Lord spoke to my heart. Do you think maybe we could give him our little house? We was going to sell it for $3,500. Reckon we could just give it to the church? He said, and said, Mary, I was thinking the same thing. He said, God told me the same thing. People started crying. They was going to give them their house. They said, we're going to give our house to the church so we can build that church. You say, oh, that's crazy. Listen to the rest of the story. And brothers, he said, and said, honey, I'll do it. And they said, we'll find somewhere to live. They said, preacher, we're going to sell our house and give it so we can get that building built and do it for God, for the glory of God. Somebody over here said, no, I want to give. Somebody over here said, no, I want to give. Next thing you know, the need was met. They said, people was crying. People started coming up getting saved. People started getting right with God. You know why? Because people realized that it's real. And when we give to God, it's real. You'll never can't outgive God. Whatever you give God, He'll bless you. I'm telling you, I'm not saying give you house this morning, but I'm saying you do what God wants you to do. You obey God. You give Him what's right, not what's left. And God will bless your life. It's a mark of a spiritual church. As a matter of fact, I will say this. And move on now, finish. I will say this. I believe that everybody ought to somehow, I believe it's scriptural, put the church and God's work in your will and give God part of what you leave. Or all of it if you can. I know a man, he said, Danny, he said, my kin folks will just fight over it. He said, my kids don't need it or something like that. He said, they've all got good living. Everybody in my family makes a good living. He said, I'm willing my house and my land to the church. They can use it to keep missionaries. They can use it to, they can sell it. They can use it for a prophet's chamber, whatever they want to do. I said, glory to God, hallelujah. I'm not preaching you something I ain't practicing by the grace of God. I've done, got it all planned out, something must happen to me. The church gets so much of what I have left, my property or land or whatever, and my kids and my wife, we tend to do the best I can for them. Listen, I think it's right and scriptural, especially if your kids have done gone and grown or you ain't got none. Give it to God, brother. Not to me. I don't want it. Give it to God, and God will bless you and use you for it. Bless you for it. I think you will be glad. Amen. Last thing I'll say, and I'm done. Seventh mark of a spiritual church is soul winning. Mark of a spiritual church is soul winning. Do us all a favor. Quit claiming to be a church if you don't have no kind of soul winning, no kind of outreach, no kind of mission, no kind of witnessing. Quit claiming to be a church. You're not even a scriptural church. All you people that hear me on the radio, or in all, and all you think, all you want to do is sit around and study and tell people stuff that nobody knows and nobody's ever heard before, and ain't none of it, half of it true. I somebody tried to tell me something this week. They said we are right now, Brother Danny. They said we are in the sixth seal of Revelation and the nice blood moons, September 29. Listen, you know, I tell you what you need to do. You need to go visit on bus route Saturday. That's what you need to do. Amen. Amen. We ain't no sixth seal in Revelation chapter 9. You'd be better off to get up off your lazy self and do something for God and get out. The mark of a church ain't knowing politics. The mark of a church is not trying to get someone. I got a text this week, man, that long. You ought to vote for so-and-so. You ought to vote for so-and-so. You ought to vote for so-and-so. I finally sent one back, said Hillary's going to be the president. Get busy for God. Don't like that, do you? Now, I hope that's wrong, and I pray that's wrong. She's worse than the one we got. You say, I don't say a preacher ought to mention stuff like that. That shows how much sense you got about preaching. You're really, really bad off and been going to weird churches. I'm going to tell you this morning, brother, our job is not to clean up America. My job ain't to go to Washington, D.C. I mean, I know it's time to go eat, but I might be just getting good and going here. And if you get up and walk out, I'll get you next time you're here. I'm telling you this morning, brother, I ain't going to go to Washington's hold a sign up and say stop abortion. I'm against abortion. I believe it's wrong. That ain't what God's called us to do. I'm not going to adopt a street out here and put up Adopted by Shining Light Youth and go out there on Saturday and pick up the beer cans the sinners throwed out last night. That ain't what God's called us to do. God's called us to win them people to God. Hell, quit throwing beer cans out on Friday night. Our job is to get out there and knock on somebody's door. You know what they did in the Bible? House to house. If you're not involved in some kind of active soul-winning program or mission, don't claim to be a spiritual church, because you're not. You ain't no scriptural church. You ain't no spiritual church. Soul-winning, brother. soul winning. Thank God somebody cared about you when you was out there. Thank God somebody cared about me. My cousins invited me to church. They witnessed to me. Thank God, be a soul winner. Make up your mind here this morning. I'm going to be a soul winner. I'm going to be a soul winner. I'm going to get... Listen, we need help. Our bus ministry's under attack, as always. Somebody here this morning, if you just wouldn't be so lazy, you could say, God help me to get the job done. I'm going to be a soul winner at work, at home, in my community, whatever you need to do. Many churches are happy and satisfied with what they've got. I know of churches where the pastor said, we're happy with what we've got. I study all week and I feed the flock. And that's it. That's their church. Us four and no more. I've seen preachers get mad when a bunch of people come in and got saved. Because the deacons thought they was losing control of it. Amen. You know what that's like? That's like a fire department. All of them sitting in here saying, now this truck has a Detroit diesel in it, and it's got so many horsepower, and this truck over here, oh, look how shiny it is. It never, while these houses burning down across the road. That's what that's like. And they say, now I have my training, and look here at this hose, and like my hat, and boy, I got this asbestos suit on and everything, and the house across the road burning up. That's what that's like. That's like a man going in there saying, I have all these fishing rods, and that one over there costs so much, and that one over there costs so much, and I paid that one for them. And that. Well, how many fish you caught? Oh, none. I'm not going to take these out and get them dirty. You ain't no fisherman. You ain't ever going to catch no fish leaving them fishing rods in the garage. You got to get it out there and throw it in. Listen, people, I know we're living in the last days. I know, but I'm going to tell you something else. All that's going to matter one of these days is souls of men, women, boys, and girls. Quit being scared. I said quit being scared. Somebody said, well, ain't you afraid the terrorists will get us? Well, it might happen. I can't think of a better way to go, can you? I mean, you talk about glory in heaven, brother. I mean, if somebody comes through that door right now and starts shooting, it's every man for himself. No, I'm just kidding. I hope that one of these redneck fellows in here would take him out before he gets a bunch of us. And that's the day we're living in. You just might as well face it. You say, well, I just want to go to a little church and where I can just enjoy. I don't know. You're just backslid as a devil and wanting somebody to brag. Oh, my goodness. Please give me a break, brother. Listen, we are not a little family sitting around looking at the ornaments on the wall. We are an army. We're a militant group of soldiers marching for God. Soul winning, soul winning, soul winning. All that's going to matter one of these days is the souls. A church that has no outreach don't have a right to call itself a church. Because it ain't. Every adult in this church, every Sunday school teacher, every bus worker, every bus driver, anybody who sings in the choir, anybody who even claims to be right with God, should be actively involved in putting the gospel out to people. And I'm right, and you know I'm right. And may God help us to be a soul-winning church. I don't want to come up here on Sundays and just go through the motions. I want to be a real, spiritual church. I want to be a church where if the electricity was off, we can still have the same kind of service. We don't need the lights. We don't need them flashing. We don't need the guitars. We don't... Thank God we have stuff like that, but not the lights. But thank God we can still have church. That's the mark of a spiritual church. Let's stand. Let's stand this morning. Our heads are bowed. Eyes are closed this morning. Maybe you're here this morning. You just sort of came in this morning. God spoke to your heart. Spoke to you and said, you know what? This kind of church you need to get in. She's playing softly this morning. We're not having singing. We'll just listen. She plays softly. Deep down in your heart, something says, God's Spirit's speaking to you, friend. The Holy Ghost is speaking to you. You do what you need to do. Maybe you're here this morning, you're not saved. Maybe you're here this morning, you are saved, but you're backslid and you need to get right with God. Why don't we just pray right now? If you need to come, just slip out of your seat and get down here in this altar. Get your heart right. Sign up for Bible school. Get involved, brother. Get in the bus ministry. Get in there for the glory of God. He'll bless you for it. Amen. Wonder how many this morning say, "Preacher, I need prayer. Something in my life. I need God to work in my heart and in my life, preacher. Please, would the church pray for me this morning?" Just slip up your hand. Take it right back down. God bless you. Hands all over the building. Hands all over this building this morning. Would you come this morning if you need to come? We're going to pray. Father, do what ought to be done. Thank you for these to come. I pray that you bless them. I pray in Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, that you would meet the need of every heart here today. Dear God, do what ought to be done in every heart and every life. Save that one which is lost. Have your way in our life, Lord. We'll thank you and praise you for it. Bless these that lifted their hands. Whatever the need is in their life, I pray you'd meet it. Dear God, bless every church, every pastor, every worker, every evangelist. That one that's discouraged, that one that's downtrodden, I pray you bless them. Bless our church. Cause it to be known as a spiritual church. Whatever you do for us, we'll thank you for it. We love you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank the Lord. Appreciate these who come this morning. Amen. All right. Tell you what we're going to do. Mark of a spiritual church. Be back tonight. 6 o'clock. Sign up for Helping Bible School. It's right there. Bible School's 2 weeks tomorrow evening. And we're going to have a time. So be involved. Everybody here ought to be in Bible school. We have the adult class in here. Kids class all over the building. We're excited about it. Our theme is Bible Boot Camp. Going to boot camp, kids. And boy, we're going to get up, be ready to be some soldiers. And I heard Silly Billy had him a camouflage suit. Her, him, I'm sorry. Silly Billy's sister might be here. So don't miss it. Bible school, we're excited about it. Amen. All right? Now we're meeting at 6 o'clock this evening. Go home, pray, read your Bible, come right back tonight. Our Sunday night crowd.